great future. We're talking real money.
Hello again. Welcome to Talking Real Money Daily. I'm Don McDonald, and we're about ready to end the week. It really depends on when the week ends. I guess we still have Saturday, so the week doesn't end today, but we're getting close. Today, a couple of things. One, I've got a question that was submitted at Talking Real Money. Don't have any calls yet, but you can always make those to 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Leave your question 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'll answer them on the podcast. Or if you like to talk with us live, Tom and I do a live version of this every Saturday at the same number, 855-935-TALK, between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, noon and 2 on the West Coast. And you can call then. And today's episode is a bit of a tease for tomorrow's topic. Tomorrow's topic is one of the biggest investment topics of all, the concept of risk. And I believe, after doing this for a while, that people still don't get risk. That's why it's so important that we continue to try to discuss it. And the connection between risk and return, because they're linked one to another. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a high return without risk. And during my research, looking for interesting pieces to talk about, I ran into an article at Kiplinger's. I've never really been sure how to pronounce it, even though I've interviewed Knight sometimes. Knight Kiplinger? I think it's Kiplinger, but I don't know. Anyway, apparently Kiplinger's has hired one of the people that I've always thought was one of the worst finance writers in the business, a guy by the name of John Wagner, who always just seems to be about whatever the industry's about. He just seems to, he doesn't question the financial services industry. He just sort of recites chapter and verse. Whatever they tell me, I'm going to do, you know. So he has this piece, and we're going to talk about it more tomorrow, about the various types of income-bearing securities you can get into. And I'm going to just focus on one, because I was going through this whole list. I'm not going to go through the whole list today. We'll go through some of it tomorrow. But I was down near the highest yielding end of his list or his slides. And he's talking about closed-end mutual funds. Now, closed-end mutual funds have been around forever. They've been around for over 100 years, I think. There have been open-end mutual funds came about after closed-end funds. Well, almost 100 years. And but that's not the point either. The point is what he's suggesting. He's actually put products into this article, just came out, and they come across as recommendations. And I think they're way beyond irresponsible. For example, and it didn't even take me this long, he suggested the ClearBridge Energy Midstream Opportunity Fund that's managed by Legg Mason. Its symbol is EMO. You can look it up. Trades for about $9 a share, and it claims to have an almost 10% dividend. And they invest in Energy Master Limited Partnerships. And I was pretty sure before I even looked this thing up that I wasn't going to like it very much, that I was going to question the safety, the volatility. And that's one of the things. There are two kinds of risk, and we're going to get into this more tomorrow. There's the risk of losing your money permanently, and then there's just that volatility thing. You can eliminate, I believe fervently, you can eliminate the permanent loss potential from your portfolio. But you're always, if you want a return, going to have to accept some sort of volatility. That's that interim bouncing around that occurs. Well, anyway, I looked up EMO, the ClearBridge Energy Midstream Opportunity Fund, and a number of things leapt out at me. And we'll start with one of those things I look at right away. The first thing I look at when looking at a fund is, how much does it cost to run it? This fund has total expenses of 3.6% per year. To put that in perspective, Vanguard's index funds hover around 0.1%. This one is 3.6%. So right off the bat, they need to make 3.6% to just break even, just to cover their expenses. So to return to you almost 10%, that means they should have to earn 13.6%, or if it's 13.5%. We'll round. All right, so that's the first problem. The second problem, this is one of those things that people don't look at. Let's talk about that volatility thing, the scariness, the bouncing around. Well, the total world stock market over the past 5 years, and we have to use 5 years because that's all the time we have with this fund, the total bounciness of the stock market measured by standard deviation is just a smidge over 11%. And again, for perspective's sake, a treasury bond has a standard deviation, or a treasury note, let's even go with a bill, really short term, of about two, okay? It can go up or down a little bit, but it doesn't go up or down very much. The S&P 500 over that same period has had a standard deviation of about 14 or 15. So the total market, because it's more diversified, has a lower standard deviation because they're not always moving at the same time. 11. How about the EMO, this closed-end fund? What would you guess its standard deviation is? It owns pipelines mainly. Master Limited Partnerships that own pipelines because it's a midstream. Midstream means there's upstream and downstream in oil. There's the production and the consumption or the refining. And then midstream is where the oil's being moved from place to place. That's pipelines or trucks or whatever it might be. The standard deviation of this fund is a whopping 25%. That is an ungodly amount of scary bounciness. Then let's talk about their dividend, that big dividend they pay. They pay a dividend of, let's see, the latest dividend has been, 2018 it was $1.28. I think that was what, let me look again. Yes, $1.28 in 2018. Wow. A $10 or $9 stock pays out $1.28 last year? How did they do it? Well, this is another one of those details that people don't look at. The income that they actually made after all their expenses off their pipeline was 8 cents. 8 cents. Well, wait. 8 cents? Yeah, 8 cents. That's not a very big dividend. It's less than 1%. Where did the rest of that come from? Well, if you look a little closer, you'll find it's return of capital. What does that mean? Return of capital means it's your own money coming back to you. Because they're depreciating this pipeline, because pipelines depreciate. They don't last forever. They have a limited life, and then they have to be replaced, repaired and replaced. So, like most oil and gas deals, a big part of your income stream is not income. It's your own money being paid back to you, just like in so many annuities. So you're not getting 10%. You're just draining your assets slowly over time. And eventually, they will drain away, just like the oil in the pipeline, just like the leak in the old pipeline that's leaking the oil on the ground. You are not making the kind of money stated. And that's why these little blurbs that say, hey, buy this, are so irresponsible. They don't take into account so many things. And there's so much else I could go into. I could go into the portfolio. I went into the portfolio of this fund and found that of the top 25 holdings, 14 of them have posted losses, some of those losses substantial, and not just last year, no, over 5 years. Average annual returns in some cases, average annual losses in some cases, in the double digits. How safe does this yield sound? To me, about as scary as it can possibly be. You have a question about these kinds of things? Before you get into these kinds of products, please call 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. And if you have a portfolio littered with them and you'd like to get some honest information, some detailed information, you'd like to see if your portfolio is properly allocated, you have some questions about having enough money in retirement, we at Vestory, my company, it's a 100% fiduciary firm. We do not ever sell things with commissions, ever. I'm emphatic. We have and are even doing more of these free, totally free meetings with an advisor. Just one. You don't get it like managing your money forever. And I promise you, you won't be sold anything. There's no obligation. There's really no cost. Do not, please, don't make it so complicated that it's going to exceed an hour or so. But we're flexible. But you can set up an appointment when it's convenient for you to have one of these meetings. It's really easy. Just go to talkingrealmoney.com and up at the top there, click on the set an appointment with an advisor button and pick the time. And I promise you, they won't try to sell you anything. They won't try to make you become a client. We'd love it if you did, but if you don't, hey, we're okay with that. We just want you to be a better investor. So do that or give us a call at 855-935-TALK or just visit Talking Real Money and look around. Now, since we don't have any calls, we're going to take a question from the website, from talkingrealmoney.com. The subject of this question is how to invest an emergency fund. And here's the question. Thinking of setting $25,000 to $30,000, 5 to 6 months emergency fund in a separate account from any other savings investing accounts. Wondering what is the best way to go about doing that. Currently have a savings account with Synchrony at 2.25%. And although that is better than the paltry bank savings, is there a better way to have low risk, liquidity, and a higher return than 2.25%? We have the funds available to open another account for the emergency account. Higher return, yes. Similar risk, no. No. Now, Tom would argue that a Vanguard short-term corporate bond fund is okay for emergency money, and I accept that it's okay. But you also must understand that it is not zero risk. Your $30,000 could conceivably become $28,000 if interest rates spike up very quickly. If there's a real big downturn in the economy, it could go down. I don't expect it would go down a lot because these are short-term bonds, and they're mostly high quality. But the best you're going to get is about 3%. So it's really not a dramatic increase from the 2.25 you get with a bank with FDIC insurance, which is an absolute guarantee by the U.S. government that we're going to pay you one way or another eventually, probably right away. So, yeah, can you get a higher return? Absolutely. Can you get a higher return with similar risk? No. Liquidity? Yes. Similar risk? Absolutely not. 855-935-TALK. That's the number. And tomorrow on the show, we're going to be talking about risk. So if you have a question about the risk that you take, the risk in your portfolio, how much risk you need to take, or how much risk you can stand taking, give us a call during the show, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern at 855-935-TALK or noon to 2 Pacific time. You can also take our risk quiz. It is also free with no obligation. No salesperson will call at talkingrealmoney.com. Just click on the risk quiz button. It's that easy. Thanks for listening. And I hope to hear from you over the weekend or some other time when something comes up in your life that has something to do with money and has you baffled. I'm Don McDonald. Have a great weekend.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.